And it is good to see all of you here in celebration worship, Crosswalk, Green Acres South. Open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This is the last message in the series called Grace Fruit, Jesus Living in Me. And today we're going to talk about the secret to a fruitful life. Well, as we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, today we're going to continue on as we sort of sum it all up, talking about not what are the fruit of the Spirit, but how can the fruit of the Spirit be displayed in your life. And of course, our key passage has been Galatians 5, and we want to go a little bit further here and finish the part of this chapter. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, meaning God can't command you to do these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Of course, my goal for you, first goal is for these 9 flavors of the fruit to be displayed in your life. And in order to do that, I think you need to memorize the fruit of the Spirit. And the best way to do that is with music. So we're going to sing our song again. We've had different groups. Ladies, come on up. Today we have a special group of staff wives. That's why I was late to pray, because I was talking to some of them. And I want to introduce them to you as they come up on stage. Starting on this side, this is Jamie Warren. That's Ken's wife. This is Judy Pond, who is Dale's wife. And this is my wife, Cindy. And can you tell, this is my granddaughter, Lizzie Holman. She's going to be helping out. And over here, we have Penny Burdett, have Joe Parks, and Joe and Mike's granddaughter, Karen Newland. And then we also have Joy LaLiberty down here. You ready? You guys stand up. Let's hit it. Let's sing the fruit of the Spirit. Get in the island feel. For all these staff wives and grandchildren who are part of this. And I think you know it by now. Just the chorus one more time. For the fruit is love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is so important. It's such an important list in the New Testament that about 15 years ago, when we were designing this building, the worship center building where some of you are, I was meeting with the building committee, and I started counting the doors, and I said, you know what, there are 9 doors leading into the worship center, so why don't we name one each door after one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's why, if you've ever noticed in the worship center, each door is named after the fruit of the Spirit. And we've kind of put together a little video starring some of the people who helped with the music over these past 10 weeks. And so check this one out. One more time for all the people that helped us out these last few weeks singing the song because we've all learned it. You know, I got to thinking about it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, you know, these were like magic doors? Think about it. I mean, what would happen if, you know, you walked under the door with that fruit of the Spirit and suddenly you took on that characteristic? In other words, you're coming to church, you know, and you're just mad at somebody and you walk through the love door and all of a sudden you're just transformed into love. Or, you know, you're just sad and downtrodden. I mean, you had a bad week and you're just kind of mad and angry and you walk through the joy door and all of a sudden, boom, you're just full of joy. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if we had those magic doors? Well, you know what? We have something much, much better than magic doors. We have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living inside of us. And you don't have to be in this building walking through those doors. Anywhere you go, anywhere you are, as we talk about the secret of fruitful living, there's no secret. It's very obvious. It's in the title itself, Grace Fruit, Jesus Living in Me. That is the secret of a fruitful life. You know, Jesus had a lot to say about fruitfulness. In fact, he said a lot in John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 15 for a moment. And I want us to read how Jesus said we can experience fruitfulness in our lives. This is John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." The King James says the vine dresser or the husbandman. By the way, it's the Greek word georgios. So if your name is George, that's where it comes from. You're like a gardener. "He cuts off every branch in me," Jesus said, "that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, when you take what Jesus said and what Paul wrote, you're going to get close to understand how to live a life full of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I love to watch submarine movies. You remember that movie Crimson Tide that starred Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington? And, you know, Gene Hackman was a little bit crazy and he wanted to launch a nuclear missile. You know, they have a fail-safe system built into all of the submarines so that you have to have two keys, right? The captain has to put his key in, and then the first officer has to put their key in, and they have to turn it at the same moment in order to launch the missile. There's a good parable there, because when you take these two key passages, Galatians 5, listing the fruit of the Spirit, John 15, that tells us how to be fruitful, and you turn those two keys simultaneously and apply them together, you will understand how you can launch out into a life full of fruitfulness. And so today we're going to talk about what Jesus said in John 15, and I want to give you four truths about how you can live a more fruitful life. First of all, we learn that fruit is proof of my relationship with Jesus. It's proof that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, I brought this apple up here because it has a little sticker on it. Have you noticed that over the last few years, because it wasn't always this way, When you get produce in the grocery store and fruit, sometimes it'll have a little sticker on it. And you know what that is, of course? It's an inspection sticker. That means somewhere between the tree and the grocery store, someone inspected this fruit and put a little sticker on there that says, "This is good fruit." Well, you know, in the same way, Jesus said, we're all are to be fruit inspectors. And we can't help but be fruit inspectors. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus said, "By their fruit you shall know them." And it is proof of being a follower of Jesus, because look at what Jesus said again in John 15, 8. He said, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves," proving yourselves, "to be my disciples." Now, we often say the proof is in the pudding, but for a Christian, the proof is in fruit. If I inspect your life and you inspect my life, we become fruit inspectors. Do you see any fruit in my life? And do I see any fruit in your life? You know, when we talk about fruit, I've got to tell you that it really means two things in the Christian life. And one thing it means is spiritual reproduction. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Because we all know that inside this apple there are seeds. And these seeds can be planted and they can grow apple trees, which can grow hundreds of apples, which in turn those seeds can be planted, which can in turn grow thousands of apple trees with tens of thousands of apples. So inside this apple, inside this fruit, there are tens of thousands of other apples. And so when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, you remember what he said to do? One command: be fruitful and what? Multiply. And he was talking about physical procreation, you know, have children. But that command is still true for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be fruitful and multiply. You see, there was someone who planted the seed of the gospel in my heart. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, someone planted the seed of the gospel in your heart. And the Bible says now it's our job to be planting the seeds of the gospel everywhere we go. You know, this church exists today because there was a group of people who had the gospel seed planted inside their hearts, and they wanted to plant seeds in this part of the community. And we are the result of a great harvest of people who believe that we should share our faith. And the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Now, as I inspect your fruit today, and as you inspect your own fruit, can you look and point at any person in whose life you have intentionally planted the seeds of the gospel? So in one sense, fruit means reproduction, spiritual reproduction. But of course, on the other sense, it means the attributes of Christ, the personality of Christ. That list of the 9 flavors of the fruit of the Spirit we've been talking about for the last 10 weeks. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which you all ought to have memorized by now. When I look at an apple, as I've said before, I know that when an apple is hanging on a tree, that is an apple tree, because the fruit is the outer expression of the inner nature. And when I look at a person and I see that you have the attributes of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, I know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You identify a tree by its fruit. Apple on a tree, apple tree. Orange on a tree, orange tree. Spaghetti on a tree, spaghetti tree. Kids, spaghetti doesn't grow on trees. I think it grows on bushes, But I'm just saying the fruit is proof that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, if you ever go to London, and I know some of you have and may go in the future, I encourage you to go outside the city of London to a place called the Hampton Court Palace, because there you'll find the oldest and largest grapevine in all of the world. It's called the Grapevine of Hampton Court Palace. It was planted in 1768, 100 years before the Civil War, and since that time it's been producing grapes. And it has a massive single trunk that is 12 feet around. And every year it has branches and vines that are over 200 feet long. And every year it still produces over 800 pounds of grapes. And so it has all kinds of branches. But the experts who keep up that grapevine, they say that, you know, there are two kinds of branches. Some of the branches just produce leaves. And you know what they do to those kind of branches? They cut them off and burn them. All they have is leaves. And so that's a great parable of the church today, because Jesus said that every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he cuts it off. And there are a lot of people today that they're like those grape branches with no fruit, just leaves. You know what leaves represents? It represents religiosity. It represents a display of righteousness that is just outward. I mean, a person who has a lot of religious leaves, they can talk the talk. Oh, I mean, they can talk about the good Lord. They even come to church. They even put on a great show. But one day, that branch is going to be cut off because it does not have a firm connection to the vine. Only those branches that are firmly attached to the vine produce fruit. And that's where we're going. So let's learn the second thing about what it means to be fruitful. Number two, I can't produce fruit. I just bear the fruit that Jesus produces in me. This is very important. If I took a branch off of a grapevine and threw it down on the concrete and said, hey, let me see some grapes, that'd be ridiculous because a branch can't produce fruit by itself. And I'm hoping you're learning already that you and I cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. We only bear it. We only display it. Now, if you're like a lot of us, you kind of have a type A personality. And you love to make lists. You love to be organized. And once you've memorized the 9 flavors of the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to be tempted to sort of make it your daily to-do list. All right, today I've got to be completely loving. I've got to be totally joyful. I must be absolutely patient today. It's like a little checklist that you say, I've got to do this and be this all day today. Well, you're missing the point. Because a branch can't produce fruit by itself. All we can do is just abide in the vine. In fact, look at the words of Jesus again in this passage. John chapter 15, verse 4. He said, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you produce fruit unless you remain in me. You know, there are all kinds of factories. I mean, we have factories that make clothes, that make cars, that make computers. But let me ask you, have you ever seen a fruit factory? No, they don't exist. Now, you see canning factories and processing factories, but you never see a fruit factory because you cannot manufacture fruit. It is a natural process of a combination of the soil nutrients, sunshine, moisture, and it produces fruit naturally. And the same thing, folks, we cannot manufacture the fruit of the Spirit. It is a supernatural process of the life of the Lord Jesus flowing from Himself, the vine, into our lives. Let me just put it this way. You and I do not have the power. We don't have the strength to be fruitful in our own strength. I read a story recently about a remote village in Nepal. I mean, up in the mountains. And these people had never been exposed to modern civilization. And one of the men from the village went down the mountain and visited a modern city. And the thing that most amazed him were the electric lights. He just couldn't get over the fact that he could turn a wall switch on and suddenly these round glass bulbs would produce this brilliant light. So he took the little bit of money that the villagers had given him and he went to a hardware store and he bought 4 or 5 light bulbs and a plastic wall switch and traveled all the way back to the village. And as he arrived back, everybody was curious, what are these? He said, just wait till dark, you'll see. What is that? Just wait till dark, I promise you'll see. And so when the sun set, it was dark, all the villagers gathered around his little house and he had attached the light bulbs to the underside of his ceiling. He had even attached the light switch near his doorway. And everybody waited with great excitement, and he flipped the switch, and of course, nothing happened. Because he did not understand that the only way electric lights illuminate is because they are connected to electricity, a source of power that's nowhere near where the light bulbs are. And that is a picture of a lot of people today who are trying to live the Christian life, who are trying to be fruitful on their own, and you don't understand that there is a source of power available to us, not far away, a source of power within, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. So can I just put it gently? God just wants to use you to display His fruit. You know, one of my great spiritual mentors was Ron Dunn, who's in heaven now, and I quote him quite often, and I love the way Ron expressed it. He said, a branch is just a grape rack that God has there to hang His fruit on. My responsibility isn't to produce fruit. My responsibility is just to be available to God to hang His fruit on me. Because the Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's go to number 3. Branches that are pruned produce more fruit. Now, folks, I wish I could have skipped this part, you know, because it's pruning is not fun. Pruning is painful. But it is what Jesus talked about. And he talked about three levels of fruit bearing. Well, actually four. He talked about no fruit. Those vines are cut off. Then he talked about bearing fruit. Then he talked about bearing much fruit. And then he talked about bearing more fruit. Now, where are you and where would you like to be? Are you one of those that say, yes, I want to produce much, I want to bear much fruit, I want to bear more fruit? Well, let's look again and see what Jesus said in John 15, 2. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even, there you have it, more fruitful. I mean, so here's your life. I mean, you're trying to walk in the Spirit. You're trying to surrender to Jesus. And in your life, there are displayed these nine personality characteristics of Jesus. And so you think everything's great. And all of a sudden, the vine dresser comes into the garden of your life. And you think maybe you're going to get a reward. You think maybe you're going to get a trophy because guess what? There is much fruit in your life. And suddenly, the divine gardener pulls out this massive pair of gardening shears and starts clip, clip, clip. Cutting on you, cutting things out of your life. And you want to say, no, Lord, not that, not that. I love that part of my life. Not that, not that. But he says, you know what? I love you so much that I want you to be more fruitful. You know, that's the difference between a beginning gardener and a master gardener. Beginning gardeners, they think pruning is counterintuitive. I mean, you don't want to cut on that branch. You don't want to cut on that tree. You want the branches to grow as long and healthy as they can be. You don't cut them off. For instance, at our home, we have an apple tree that we planted years ago. And the first couple of seasons, it produced a few little apples. But we decided we needed it to grow tall to be a shade tree. So you know what you call an apple tree that doesn't bear apples? A shade tree. It's still an apple tree, but there's never been any fruit on it. It's just this big tree to be shadeful. And we could have cut it back. And it would have produced fruit, but instead we just said, we're going to let it grow. But on the other hand, I also have a grapevine behind my house that I've built up on an arbor. And every winter I go in there and I start cutting off the old dead branches. And so that when it's summer and spring, suddenly it produces so many grapes that we can't even eat all of them. And that's the difference. Pruning produces more fruit. Now, pruning is painful. No, none of us like to go through it. And you know what? Sometimes God prunes us gently. With his word or with his spirit. But sometimes he has to perform major surgery on his children so that we can be more fruitful. As you know, I love to go to Israel. It's like my second home. And there's an area in northern Israel. It's called the Finger of the Galilee because it's a thin area between Lebanon and Syria. And in this, on the northern slopes of these mountains, there's an Israeli Druze village that have produced apple orchards. I mean, they have planted hundreds of apple trees on the side of this mountain. And we stop at a place, an overlook overlooking into Syria, and they're usually selling them in the parking lot. And I want to tell you, these are the most delicious, juicy apples I have ever tasted in my life. And our guide, my friend Reuben Solomon, said once he visited one of these orchards of the Druze that produce so many apples that sometimes they have to prop up the branches on these little trees because the weight of the apples would break the branches. And he noticed something about these apple trees. He noticed that in these apple trees there are all kinds of gashes and gouges and cuts on the trunks and on the big limbs. And so he asked the Druze orchard grower, what are those for? He said, well, you know, we've discovered through the years that if an apple tree is healthy, but it's not producing a lot of apples, we'll just take a knife or an axe and we'll wound that trunk, we'll gouge it, we'll put a big gash on there. And there's something about a wounded tree that responds and it produces more fruit. And Reuben said, this is what the guy said. He said, the more scars on a tree, the more fruit it produces. And today I'm looking into the faces of many of you, dear followers of Jesus Christ. And you sit there as evidence of this truth that the more scars you have, the more fruitful you are. Because adversity in our lives makes us stronger. We all know that. We don't like to be pruned. It's painful, but it is a truth that if you want to be more fruitful in your life, you must accept the pruning of God. And some of you are going through a pruning time right now. You're saying, what in the world is going on? There just seems to be parts of my life that are being cut off, that are being eliminated. The master gardener is just pruning you to make you more productive. Can you think of someone in the Bible that was greatly pruned, but was also greatly useful for the Lord? Well, what about the Apostle Paul? Probably did more for the cause of Christianity than any other person save the Lord Jesus Christ. Wrote over half the books in the New Testament. Started churches all around that part of the world. First to take the gospel into Europe. You think he lived a wonderful life, carefree, pain-free? No. In fact, in his own words, this is what he said in 2 Corinthians 11. I've been flogged 5 times, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times, immersed in open sea for a night and a day, in hard traveling year in and year out. I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've known drudgery, hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. He said, I've been through all of this, and praise the Lord, all it has done is make me more fruitful for Jesus. Now, I think most of us would like to be used by Paul. Used like Paul, but do you want to be pruned like the Apostle Paul? That's just the truth. God wants to produce much fruit in you, and the only way he can produce more fruit in you is through pruning. Well, let's come to the last truth here. Number 4, my main responsibility is to remain firmly connected to Jesus. And this is the final and most important thing I want to say about the fruit of the Spirit in your life. My job is not to produce fruit. I can't. I'm a branch. My only role, job as a branch, is to stay firmly connected to Jesus. And John 15:5 has been one of my life verses where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains, and circle that word, remains, because Jesus used it 10 times. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Did you catch that? Apart from Jesus, you can't be loving. Apart from Jesus, you can't be joyful. Apart from Jesus, you can't be patient. Apart from Jesus, you can't show goodness. You can't do any of these things without the power of Jesus Christ in you. I'm going to ask a trick question, so I don't want you to embarrass yourself. And so I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you might not want to raise your hand on this first question. How many of you would say, you know what, Pastor? Jesus is an important part of my life. Don't raise your hand now. But you would have if I hadn't warned you, right? How many of you would say that Jesus is an important part of my life? You say, what's wrong with that question? How many of you would say that Jesus is my life? That's the real question. Because you know what? A branch is part of the vine. The vine isn't part of the branch, and we get it reversed. We make Jesus a part of our lives. You know, I got my family, that's part of my life. I got my job, that's part of my life. I got my hobby, that's part of my life. Oh yeah, I got Jesus, he's part of my life. Mm-mm. Jesus doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants to be your life. Because the one word that describes the relationship of a branch to a vine is utter dependence. Did you catch that? Utter dependence. The branch cannot live without the vine, and I'm here to tell you, you and I cannot live unless we're firmly attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I see so many Christians that are straining and sweating, and they're saying, you know, I'm going to love that unlovely person if it kills me, and it almost does kill you, you know. I've seen Christians that almost have a spiritual hernia for straining and striving and sweating so hard to try to live the Christian life. You know, I walked under my grapevine the other night, and I looked up, and there was one of those branches, and it was just dripping water. And I could actually hear it going, ah! I said, what's wrong with you? He's saying, I'm trying to be fruitful, and I don't have as many grapes on me as that other vine, so I'm just trying to be more fruitful. I said, you idiot. You stupid branch. Stop sweating. Stop straining. The only one thing you need to do is just stay attached to the vine. And in all of our sweating and straining and striving, really all that we need to do is stay attached to Jesus. Now, when I say that you abide in Jesus, remain in Jesus, it's the Greek word meno, which just means to stay there, don't leave. It'd be like if you put an underage minor on an airplane to go fly out to L.A. to visit your aunt and uncle, and that plane was going to stop in Dallas, you'd tell your child, when the plane lands in Dallas, Minnow, stay on the plane. Don't get off the plane in Dallas. Stay on it till it gets to L.A. That's what Jesus is saying here. You know, just stay connected, stay attached, stay intimately connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. If it seems like I'm talking about this with great passion, it's because this has changed my life. You know, we hear a lot about ministerial burnout. And in 1978, when I was in my very first church out of seminary, I was a great candidate for ministerial burnout because I was frustrated, I was tired, I was fatigued, I was working too hard, and I just had no joy in the ministry whatsoever, to the point that I very seriously considered leaving the ministry and going to medical school and following another career. I even checked into taking organic chemistry at a local school because I knew I would need some chemistry background to take an MCAT test. And during that time of just fatigue and frustration in the ministry, somebody gave me a cassette tape by this unknown preacher at that time, Charles Stanley. And he was talking about John 15. He said, too many people are, their Christian life is like a treadmill. It's a lot of activity, but you're not going anywhere. I said, that's me. And somebody gave me another book by Major Ian Thomas called The Saving Life of Christ. And I read those books and listened to that tape. And all of a sudden, God put it into my head that, you know what? It's not you, David, having to do all this. There's only one thing I require of you, and that is you to stay connected to me, stay firmly attached to me. And folks, this is not some passive activity of just sitting in the lotus position and trying to channel Jesus. It is actively abiding in Jesus, taking a passage of Scripture and just meditating on it, memorizing it. And if you want to find out what it is to abide in Jesus, tomorrow morning take 10 minutes and just take a chapter of the Bible and just shut out everything else and just commune with the Word of God and meditate on Jesus. Because as the Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, it talks about a man who's planted by the rivers of water and his fruit shall never fail. Right before that, you know what he's doing? He's meditating on the Word of God day and night. And so all I can tell you, folks, is it just my whole life in ministry changed 180 degrees and I've figured out, you know, it's not me trying to do something for Jesus. It's just me trying to allow Jesus to do something through me. And here I am 35 years later and I want to tell you there's greater joy, there's greater love, there's greater excitement in serving Jesus than ever before in my life. Have you made that discovery? You know, Major Ian Thomas, who wrote The Saving Life of Christ, was a soldier's soldier. He was a hero for the British Army during World War II. In fact, he was such a hero, he received the highest medal that the British Army awards. And when Germany surrendered, guess which soldier they asked to go and receive the flag of surrender from Germany? Ian Thomas. And after the Army, and he was a stickler for regulations, after the Army, he decided he was going to be a perfect Christian. Follow the book, follow the regs. And he was going to live perfectly for Jesus Christ. And after years and years of frustration, like I talked about, suddenly he came to understand that it's not us doing something for Jesus. It's Jesus doing something through us. And here's what he said. He had an encounter with the Lord. And he said, the Lord said to me, for 7 years with utmost sincerity, you've been trying to live for me on my behalf, the life that I have been waiting for 7 years to live through you. Notice the prepositions. Since that day, you've given mental consent to the truth that I've been in your heart, he heard Jesus saying, and you've accepted it as a theory, but you have lived totally ignoring the fact. You have been busy trying to do for me all that I can only do through you. And Ian Thomas said, I learned to say, Lord Jesus, I can't. You never said I could, but you can. And you always said you would. Would you bow your head with me here in Crosswalk and in celebration? And I want to lead you in a time of commitment right now, just very silently where you are. Would you be willing to pray that prayer to Jesus right now? You've been working hard, trying hard, striving, sweating, straining. Would you surrender to Jesus living in you, and would you say something like this? Jesus, I confess I can't. You never said I could. But Lord Jesus, you can. You always said you would. So starting today, I'm going to stop trying. And I'm going to start abiding, trusting in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is the secret to a fruitful life.